spoken about hope, we've spoken about peace, and this morning, joy. So more rah, rah, rah. Okay, we're going to keep trying. Got a couple of minutes together, so just see how we can do. Often we hear this scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But sometimes people don't feel that strong. A popular scripture for today is also 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always is how it starts. Rejoice always. But sometimes people don't always feel like rejoicing. We know we must. We know it's the right thing to do, but it's not always easy. Joy can be difficult in a world where we find ourselves at this time of the year. Some of us are tired, some are grieving, some feel lost or overwhelmed. Some people find joy difficult throughout the whole entire year. The world tells us that joy is found in perfect families, perfect gifts, and perfect moments. But Advent reminds us, and that's what we're here about this morning, true joy isn't something we create. It is something God brings to us. True joy is found in relationship with Jesus Christ. The scripture this morning, Luke 2 verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." True joy or great joy is found in the presence and in the person of Jesus Christ. I just love the scripture because we go from joy to great joy. He doesn't just bring us regular joy, folks. He brings us great joy. And as I was preparing, I realized that there's a parable that I wanted to look at that speaks about joy in a really beautiful way. The parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15:3 to 7. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." Joy, rejoice, rejoicing are the words that Jesus uses in this parable for the moment when the shepherd realizes that he's found the sheep. What a beautiful story. A couple of things to take note of. The first thing is the shepherd who notices the one. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. The shepherd notices the one. For some people, a loss of 1% might be acceptable, but for this shepherd, it's not. He goes in search of the one. And it's the same with Almighty God, the Good Shepherd. He notices you, he sees you, and he knows when you are missing. Joy is not so much that we have found God, but that God has come looking for us. We have a world of darkness. We have hearts that are wandering. And joy is the truth that God is coming. He's here already, but in Advent we look forward to his coming. We look forward to his coming again. The shepherd, Jesus, is searching out those who are lost. Sometimes when we become Christians, we say, "I found Jesus," or "I found faith." But in actual fact, Jesus was the one that initiated the search party. It was his idea to come and find us, to find the lost. He was searching for us, and he found us. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it wasn't my idea. It was his idea. He was actively searching like that shepherd. Where's one? Where's that Brian? I didn't find Jesus. I just reached out and took hold of what he was offering me. He found me. Joy is knowing that the shepherd, who is Jesus, has noticed you, noticed all of us. Joy is knowing that he searches for us, the ones that are lost. And we also need to remember at this time, the shepherd is the one who searches. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Scripture, Luke 15 verse 5 says, "And when he finds it," not "if he finds it" or unless he kind of gives up and gets tired and goes home, when he finds it, he searches and searches and searches and searches until he finds the one. He doesn't stop, doesn't give up, doesn't take a break. God's joy is connected to his determination to rescue us. He doesn't stop halfway. He doesn't give up when we resist. He doesn't sigh in frustration and return to the others. Advent is the story of God who steps into our world, not because we climbed to him, but because he came to us in Jesus Christ. The manger is the proof of the shepherd searching. And in your life today, he's still coming, still seeking, still carrying light into dark places. So the shepherd notices each one of us. Please don't say he doesn't notice me. He notices every single person. This should fill us with joy. And that he searches us out should fill us with joy. Then there's the joy of being found. Luke 15, verse 5. When he finds it, this lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. The sheep's not really making a whole lot of contribution here. Just saying. The sheep is lost, scared, lonely, whatever. When you see pictures of this cartoons, often there's like a wolf or something behind a tree, like with dripping fangs. The sheep really brings a whole lostness to the thing, but nothing else. The shepherd does the looking, the shepherd does the lifting, the shepherd does the carrying back. And then the shepherd is so full of joy, I love this picture, at finding the lost sheep, that he lifts it onto his shoulders, carries it back home, and then he says, woohoo, look, the one that was lost is found. This is a beautiful picture of the shepherd who cares and who is full of joy. This is the gospel. Joy doesn't come from what we carry. It comes from the one who carries us. Picture for a moment Jesus, the shepherd, finding you and carrying you back home. Just picture that for a moment. He carries you. He picks you up. I found you. We're going back home. He's full of joy. The sheep that was found and he's being carried back to safety and back home is also going to be full of joy. I remember the day that Christ found me and I accepted his offer of eternal life. I was very happy. I was full of joy. Advent reminds us that joy comes when you let the shepherd lift you onto his shoulders once he finds you. Then Jesus says something quite astonishing. He says, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Heaven erupts in a big old party. When the one sheep arrives, when the one of you comes back, there's this moment where there's this huge, big, joyous thing happening in heaven. Not just for everybody else, for each one of you, okay? You're noticed. We often imagine God as reluctant or stern, but Jesus reveals a side of the Father here who runs to us, who rejoices because of us. Your life brings joy to God. Your return brings joy to God. Your presence brings joy to God. And then it's also important to know about the joy that we share. When the shepherd returns home, he calls everybody else and he says, hey, friends, neighbors, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. The lost sheep is now the center of this rejoicing, the focus of a party. Joy is meant to be shared. When Christ finds us and when he heals us and he restores us, we become carriers of his joy. And this is the heart of Advent. We share joy because Christ has come. We live joy because Christ is with us. We anticipate joy because Christ will come again. Joy is found in the presence of the shepherd. There's a whole lot more here that you might not have picked up on. In Luke chapter 15, this is one of three parables that Jesus tells in quick succession. The lost sheep is the first parable, 1 out of 100. Right after that, the lost coin. Right after that, the lost son. They follow right straight after each other. The lost coin, the lady loses this coin. She hunts, she lights a lamp, she looks all over and she finds the coin. And when she does, when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin. Now, I know that nowadays you can walk through the Checkers parking lot and see coins just lying around. I have. And we actually don't get excited about that little tiny little coin. You know, we don't scoop it up and go, woohoo, rejoice, friends, car guards. We don't. We just walk past. It's like a, what is that? It's 10 cents, I think, is the real exciting money, is not the 10 cents. If it was 100 rand, but anyway, we're talking about coins. But we don't get excited about coins nowadays, but we have to understand the context of what is happening in this story. We might think this is a trivial moment because it's just a coin, but the coins were, there were 10 coins that were worn by a woman who was married, like a wedding ring. They were worn here. Imagine for a moment, you just have to imagine, I'm sorry, my love, that you have a wedding ring with 10 diamonds. Just imagine. Okay. Did I remind you about the Thanksgiving offering? No, just kidding. So imagine, stay on target, Brian. 10 diamonds, and one of those diamonds is lost. Now you can see the importance of the story. Why the lady hunts for that coin. It means a whole lot. It means that she's betrothed to someone. And it was valuable in her sight, and that's why she hunts for it. And then the next story is the story of the lost son. We go from the 100 and the 1 to the 10 and the 1 to the 2 and the 1 that is lost, the lost son. I didn't read that last scripture. I'm so sorry, Paul. I'm just running ahead here. It's Luke 9, verse 10, the lady who's lost the coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Again, Christ links the story of the lost coin to people being found. Then the lost son, the son goes off. He wants his inheritance, he wastes his money, he lands up with the pigs, he realizes he must go home, and he heads back home. And when he's away off, we read this in Luke 9, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son tries to apologize to the father, but this is the father's response. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. The lost being found is so very important. It's where we find real joy. So whenever I do these three stories, and apologies to those people that have already heard the story, but I always tell this story because it's a story that was written in a book of the lost son, and it's a modern day interpretation of this story. A young girl grows up on a cherry orchard in Traverse City, Michigan. Her parents are a little bit old-fashioned. They complain about the length of her skirt, the music she listens to, and the friends that she hangs around with. I hate you, she says, as she slams her bedroom door after she's had another fight with her father. And as she lies there in this dark bedroom, she decides to act out on a plan that she's had for many, many months. She decides she's going to run away from home. She's only ever been to Detroit once before with her church youth group to watch the Dolphins play. But she decides it's the best place to go. They'll never look for her there. They might go to California and look for her there, maybe the East Coast, but not Detroit. And so the very next day, she goes. When she gets to Detroit City, she finds a man with the biggest car she's ever seen. She calls him boss. He gives her some tablets that make her feel better than she's ever felt before. He gives her a place to stay. He also teaches her some things that men like. And because she's so young, men pay a premium for her services. But it's okay. She stays in a penthouse, orders room service whenever she likes. One day she gets a brief scare. She picks up a milk carton and she sees her photograph on the side of the milk carton. And underneath are the words in big black letters, "Have you seen this child?" She hardly looks like a child now with all of the body piercing and makeup. And anyway, in Detroit, nobody squeals. Nobody would say a thing. Nobody would tell her parents. After about a year, the first signs of sickness begin to show. She's amazed at how quickly the boss turns mean. We can't take any chances, he says. And before she knows it, she's out on the street with not a penny to her name. She still turns a few tricks, but she makes very little money. Just has enough to survive. And as winter rolls in, she finds heat lying on the big grates outside the department store. She covers herself with newspaper just for some insulation. And one night, as she's lying there, she has a memory. She remembers Traverse City. She remembers the rows and rows of cherry orchards. She remembers a tennis ball that she would throw for her dog, and the dog would return it to her. And she thinks, oh my God, my dog eats better than me. I think I need to go home. The next day, she finds a payphone. She makes 3 calls to her parents' home. Each time, she connects to the answering machine. The first 2 times, she just hangs up. And then the 3rd time, she leaves a message. She says, Mom, Dad, it's me. I'm coming home. I'm getting on a bus tomorrow. It'll be in Traverse City by 11 o'clock. If you're there, that's great. If not, I'm just going to stay on the bus until it hits Canada. The next day, she gets on a bus. And as she travels the 11 hours back to Traverse City, she's got lots of time to think through what's happening. One of the thoughts in her mind is, what if her parents are away for the weekend? What if they're not there to greet her just because they're not home? And those thoughts are also next to thoughts of, what will I say when I see my dad? And again, she goes through her excuse, her apology. Dad, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. This is all my fault. None of this is your fault. I love you. Eventually, at 11 o'clock, the bus draws into Traverse City. She hears the hiss of the air brakes as the bus driver stops. And she hears his voice over the intercom. 15 minutes, folks. She's got 15 minutes to decide the rest of her life. She takes a compact mirror out of her bag to fix her makeup and notices the dark rings around her eyes. And as she clicks it shut, she notices the tobacco stains on her fingers and wonders, will my parents notice? She steps off the bus and walks towards the automatic doors of the bus terminal. And as she steps into the bus terminal, not one of the thousands of thoughts can prepare her for what's waiting there. As she steps through the door, there's a whole group of people at the back of the bus terminal. It's a whole family. There's mom, dad, brothers, sisters, uncle, aunts, grannies, grandpas, everybody. They're all wearing party hats and have got noise blowers. And across the back wall is a big computer-generated sign, welcome home. She doesn't know what to do. She stops right on the spot. And then out of the crowd steps her father. And he walks right up to in front of her. She clears her throat. She starts with her apology. Dad, I'm sorry. He cuts off right there. There's no time for apology now. There's a party waiting for us. We have to leave immediately. The story of the lost son, or the story of the lost daughter. Today we light the pink candle of joy. This candle stands out from the other candles. It's a reminder that Christians can find joy in the world today. We can stand out as people of joy. The world says, earn joy, while Jesus says, receive joy. The world says, be perfect. Jesus says, let me carry you. The world says, you are on your own. Jesus says, I've come to find you. So today, may you know you are seen, you are sought, you are carried, you are celebrated, you are loved. This is the joy of Advent. This is the joy of the lost sheep. This is the joy of the lost coin. This is the joy of the lost son. This is the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen.